Talk Show.
Recorded live.
Yeah, what's up with you people? Once again, it's Speaking Like You Think It Radio. I'm your host, Naj Know-It-All, and I'm joined once again by a college football expert who, as we said last week, was the first person to big up Mr. Sue at Nebraska, who's now in looks like is in the Heisman race, Mr. Craig Barzee.
Sir.
What's good, man?
Not much, man. It's been a bad weekend for college football for me. So.
Yeah, you had a bad sports weekend, man. But before we get into that, man, I wanna kind of just make a statement that it'll all come as I lay it out. But basically, my statement is this, man: the media, and when I say media, I mean big media. Four-letter network, big newspaper, everybody else. I'm not talking about the little guys, the bloggers, the Twitters, and everybody else. They going too far, man, with promoting people, man. They promoted people way too hard into something that they're not. Now, if they just let us look at players and decide for ourselves what they are, how good they are, it'll let us decide if we like, you know, that particular player. With Tim Tebow, they pushed so hard for all these years with him, it created this backlash. But if they would have just left it alone and let people discover the kid's talent for themselves, people would have appreciated him a lot more. And people like me, who don't like Tebow, would have had a chance to like the kid. Because when you look at his game, I mean, you know, it's a lot there to like. But when the media does what it does, as far as pushing somebody, trying to make you like somebody or trying to make you understand how great somebody is, when, you know, that's something that's left to your own eyes. They shouldn't make that decision. So basically what they've done is put a lot of people out against Tim Tebow, a lot of people up against Brett Favre. It's a lot of people, man, who've gotten so much attention and so many positive stories or I don't even want to say positive story, but just stories that are going overboard with the praise that they're not giving fans a chance to be fans. Let them pick who they think their favorite player is or who they think the best is. So I feel I'm biased against Tebow, so I don't want to go in on the boy as far as the Florida game, them losing, and what happened afterwards. So I want to give Mr. Barzee the floor and let him speak on the Florida game. As a Florida fan and as a sports radio analyst, what do you got on the Florida game, man?
Other than you got dominated by Alabama, I mean, I kind of felt they were a better team anyway going into the game, just from looking at it through the year. They were the stronger, better team. I mean, you can't say nothing about it. The way that, you know, that we played, they moved the ball pretty much at will. They had a pretty good game plan on defense against Bo. We just didn't have the weapons like we had last year to compete with them. And they were a better team, and I kind of knew it. I knew it. I sensed that it would come down and Alabama would beat us. But it's never easy. It's never easy at all, man, to watch it. I didn't really expect it to be that dominating performance, but Alabama, every phase of the game, they pretty much deserve.
And do you think Dunlap could have made a slight difference there, or?
Well, a couple of things, man. Number one, I'm not gonna say Alabama's severely talented more than Florida. Couple of plays, you know, Alabama played pretty much a mistake-free ball game. And you saw last year when Florida did that. Both teams did that last year, and the game was close. I think what you saw is Florida didn't make plays when they had a chance. At times, they didn't look in sync. They didn't look like a Florida team that was ready to play at that level against that kind of competition that was clicking on all cylinders. Florida wasn't. So when you make mistakes and you're short on players and you don't have quite the kind of team that you have that you had last year that was as talented as far as on offense, then the end result is what you're going to see, what you saw on Saturday afternoon on into Saturday night.
Now, you talked, the way you're saying this is sounding like, you know, as far as them being ready to play and just overall strength on the lines as far as, you know, just being more physical.
Yeah, they
were you surprised by that more or the play of the Alabama quarterback?
I'm surprised by the play of the Alabama quarterback, number one. He played pretty mistake-free. Their line held up pretty well. I mean, I think Florida may have got to McElroy a couple of times, but they really didn't pressure him all night. It wasn't like that kid Mays, I don't know who was guarding that kid Mays. He made plays the whole, from the beginning of the ball game into the third quarter. He pretty much dominated whoever was checking him. It was probably not Hayden, but My Black. I think it was My Black. One of those guys regarding him, man. And he ate them up, man. He ate them up. Whenever on third downs, Florida had a chance to make plays. They could get off the field. I mean, when you're in that big of a game, and I think Florida was a little out, man, to begin with, playing short. Like I said, they don't really have those big playmakers on defense, but Tim Tebow had a chance to get them within 7 points. And he throws that pick in the end zone. The arena that pretty much sealed the deal. So like I say, when you get on that stage, you gotta play. Especially if you know that you're going into a gunfight and you're short of a few bullets. You know what I mean? You got to make sure every bullet counts. And I think Florida made mistakes and kind of misfired on a couple of plays when they could have made it. There was a play at the beginning of the ball game when the score was 3, and Florida could have had a big play. They throw a pass to Demps in the flat, and he flat out just drops it. He could have ran 20, 30 yards down the field.
Right.
And it's things like that, man, that you can't have. I don't think. Florida was quite up to the level of competition that Alabama was that night. And Alabama was a better team, man. I can't say enough. They were better. I felt they were better coming in. I felt Florida had to play a pretty good ball game, and they didn't do it. So that's what you get.
Now, did this game change your idea of Mark Ingram?
Not really. I mean, Mark Ingram is a pretty solid back. Let's be real, man. Like I said, Florida was a little down. Spikes was nicked up. They weren't playing. And they pretty much played the all year. A little under gun, man. They didn't have a Stamper linebacker playing. So I mean, it's. He was on crutches, so they didn't have a lot of the guys, you know, that they held in there as good as they could, but they kind of got worn down there, especially in the third quarter and fourth quarter. He didn't really hit them for big runs, but they got 6 and 7. Looks like they were getting 6 and 7 yards, 5, 6, 7 yards at will when they wanted to. Which makes third and short, man. It was easy for them to pick up.
Now I got a question. Who's the best player in college football, period, in your mind?
Best?
Yeah, regardless of position.
Got to be Sue.
Sue.
Got to be Duncan Sue. I can't pronounce that guy's name.
And with that said, man, the man really showed out against Texas, man.
Like I said last week, I said if he had a big game, man, everybody talking about him. But I told you he was on my board since number one. I watched him play in that Virginia Tech game when I developed the board. He was number one since then. So I'm not surprised. And you look at the stats from that ball game, 4.5 sacks, 12 – no, was it
Yeah, they couldn't block him no matter what they tried to do. And, I mean, he pretty much made Texas an underdog in the national championship game with the way that he was out there dominating. Do you give them any chance in the big game?
Nah, man. SEC, man. Come on, man. SEC, man. Come on.
I should have known the SEC, man, was going to roll with Bama. What do you think about them putting the two smaller schools against each other in the same bowl?
Good.
Oh, you like it?
Yeah, man. I don't really care to see them TCU play Florida, man. I want to see that.
I would just in the sense of, okay, if they want to have an argument about them being undefeated and getting frozen out, I would prefer they had a chance to play one of the top teams. You know, win or lose would determine, you know, how the argument went all off season. But, yeah, I would have liked to see them play one of the big boys. But they won't get that chance, so.
I'm glad they did. But the, you know, what you want to talk about is that the way that Texas game ended, that's what you're saying, man. That 1 second left on the clock, man, should they, you know.
Yeah.
It looked like it was legit, man, but I'm Bo Pelini, man. I'm a little upset, man. Plus, Texas looked mighty stupid if they would have lost that game to, especially Colt McCoy, you know, doing something like that, throwing a pass, man, when you know, with like a few seconds left on the clock, man, you need to kill it, man, so you can get that field goal team on the, you know, on the field to kick that field goal. If it ain't there, man, and you see it's down to 3 seconds, man, just spike that ball in the turf, man. Get that kick on the line. He threw that pass, a long pass. If that ball would have hit 1 second longer, man, we're talking about somebody else in that championship game versus Alabama.
Yeah, and he would have lived on in infamy as, you know, making one of the dumbest plays in college football history. That would have been on there every year along with the Stanford Bam, you know, and all that kind of stuff. But the part that killed me was they had a timeout. So it was like, why not just sit there under center, let it tick down, call your timeout, bring the field goal team on. And like I can't remember who said it, but if they don't get pressure on him, he doesn't have to roll out of pocket. I'm gonna say he ticks the clock down all the way before he throws it out of there.
Yeah,
like you said, it was only 1 second.
1 second, man, that separated him. Can't say enough about your boy Sue, man. Like I said, he almost singled. That defense stood up pretty well, but that field goal at the end there, that barely got him in. Who's to say, man? You know, Texas may come in there chip on their shoulder, man. And Texas got talent, man. They don't.
They have the defense. I'll give them that. The defense is good. They had that one bad game against A&M, but the defense is good.
Shit, A&M, man. They seem like they want to hang 50 on Texas, man. Imagine what they're going to do to Georgia in that bowl game.
Always the shot at Georgia, always. But,
man,
but you know what,
up,
though?
I think you're right. They might put up a 60 spot on Jordan.
Hey, man, that quarterback for A&M looks nice, man. So, I mean,
I saw him playing at the beginning of the year. They played Arkansas in that Jerry Jones Stadium grand opening. I saw him playing something like that. Mm-hmm. It was the first college game there or whatever. And I saw him play, man. He didn't have too good of a game, man. Mallett kind of outshined him, but – he looked like he came a long way from the beginning. I think that game was like September, around September somewhere.
Mm.
In that Texas game, man, he really showed his ass off, man. He outplayed. He almost outplayed Colt McCoy.
Yeah, Colt McCoy took it away with that big run, man. That big run. that's legend stuff right there, man. Quarterback break it up the middle like that. Break open the game. It was definitely a big play. Those are the more important ones. I really don't want to get into the smaller bowls until next week at least, where we can get into the draft board again. So I kind of wanted to go to the NFL. First, I want to start off with the Saints, man. they keep finding ways to get it done, man. And I mean, a little luck is involved too. I mean, with that the strip pick six, I guess you could call it, and then missed 23-yarder by the Redskins. But no matter what, 12-0 is 12-0.
Yeah, they're on defense. They got some injuries, man. But you know, hey,
they come with it, yeah. Regardless,
so they gave up some big plays. People keep, you know, I always wondered about, you know, people watching on TV, man, and when they say who's good and who's not, man. Jason Campbell, man, I'm going to tell you, he's going to get with somebody, someone's squad, man. He's going to be a decent quarterback. And all those people who crap on him, you really can't say that it's his fault for Washington. I mean, you look at that game, man, he made plays. And it wasn't just like, oh, Washington was down there. I mean, he made more plays against that defense than Tom Brady did.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, on the one foot, the people will crap on New Orleans defense for letting Jason Campbell go for that many yards against them and looking so good. And then they say they don't give him any credit for how – you know, how they, you know, they forced Brady into throwing a couple of picks, not looking that great on the previous Monday night. So,
he looked good, man. I mean, I've talked to a couple of people who've already decided that he's a career backup, but this is a guy with all this stuff going on around him. You know, coach basically is handcuffed.
Like
he's been through all these offensive coordinators.
Four coordinators.
He's got every excuse to be. Yeah, 4 and 5 years. He's got every excuse to be Jamarcus Russell, but he's not. Like you said, he makes plays. So, I mean.
He's a steady quarterback, man. If you put him on a team, if you put him on Carolina, I guarantee you they win more games. Because he doesn't look to make mistakes. He tries to make the plays that are there. I think that's people who criticize him against that. But, look, I'd rather have a quarterback who takes the chances when he feels that you can take the chances and not try to make every big play and make a chance and put your team in a bad spot. I'd rather take a quarterback like that, man. You know, sometimes that Brett Favre whole thing, well, let me gun it in there, and, you know, in triple coverage, that don't work every time. That doesn't work for winning squads, man. Sometimes you got to hold that ball or throw that ball out of bounds sometimes and live to fight another day. I mean, Jason Campbell does a lot of that. But he has all the tools, like you said, to be a damn good quarterback, man. And I think he is.
Bad Brett Favre this weekend. Bad Brett Favre came back this weekend, like you said, trying to force some things.
Yeah, but they put him in a bad spot. The defense, the Minnesota defense kind of got down, gave up a bunch of points. And anytime, I think that's the key to beating Brett Favre anyway, because when you do that, man, if you jump on Minnesota, you're basically taking AP out the game anyway. And then what you're doing, you're making Brett Favre have to throw. So you're taking one half of their offense away from them, especially if you jump. That's what I think if they face New Orleans, they're going to be in trouble because Brett Favre's going to have to be Brett Favre. And if they get down, they're not going to be able to run AP as much as they like.
Yeah,
so I think their best game plan against New Orleans would be to run AP a lot and kind of, you know, throw a lot less on downs.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to keep that offense off the field.
If they had a more hard-nosed coach, I would be all on the Minnesota Vikings bandwagon, just in the sense of somebody who's going to stick with the run regardless of what's happening. And I don't think Childress is that guy. You know, he wants to throw it, and – last game, I mean, even if Peterson is getting stopped, that means to me you give Taylor a few more carries, but you keep banging with Peterson too. You keep running the ball because your team, no matter what, if you're able to execute, you're gonna win. If they do what they need to do, keep the Williams boys nice and rested, have long drives, and let Brett Favre play off of the run. You do that, I mean, hey, they can win it all, but. We'll have to see where they go, man. The big story for me, though, this week, man, we live in Atlanta, for those that don't know. And to see the boy MV, boy Mike Vick, come back to town and a depleted Falcons team, no starting quarterback, no starting running back. But, I mean, they got a lot of players who look like they should be on other teams' practice squads as far as their depth. Atlanta is just not a good team all the way around. And Philly really took it to them, man.
Philly took it to them, man. But that's what they should have done. They should have stepped on the neck, on the Falcons' necks, because the Falcons squad was, like you said, depleted. There wasn't no reason for them to not win that ball game or to even just basically outclass them, man. I mean, playing a Falcons squad with a career backup, starting running back out, defensive backfield is atrocious.
Yeah.
Really no playmakers on that squad, man. And on defense, you got John Abraham, who's non-existent, non-factor. I mean, they should have ran through him.
Yeah. Did you see the fullback run away from the secondary, Leonard Weaver?
Yeah. Well, hey, man. Yeah. It'll probably be a touchdown if Keith Brooks is still with the Falcons.
Yeah, no doubt on that one, no doubt. But, hey, man, your boy still got that cannon, man.
Man, I heard Skip Bayless try to crap on. Yeah. I heard Skip Bayless try to crap on Vic this one. Said something about that pass was, your boy Pollock, David Pollock on the radio crapped on it, too. He said pass was underthrown. Well, I don't know. I looked at the play, man. He still put it out there, and the guy dove across and still didn't get it. So, I don't know, say what you will, man. I mean, he laid it on a rope out there, and the defensive back that was going across dove and still couldn't get it. So,
you're nitpicking. If somebody throws the ball four times and you want to try to break down their one deep pass, I mean, that's nitpicking, man. Somebody could say Brady missed two open receivers against New Orleans deep. It happens. You know what I mean?
I'll tell you what, Vic still throws a beautiful ball, though. And he throws a nice fire, man.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And then with all the problems they've had with third and one, they finally decided to start using them more in that third down package. Looks like it might be something for them going forward, man.
They got the Giants. That's a big story, man. They run up against the Falcons. The Falcons short on defensive tackle. They short on this, short on that. Yeah, man. But it's a different story. You play the Giants, man. We'll see after see. They play the Giants in New York, Giants Stadium. We'll see.
A desperate Giants team at that. So, yeah, that's definitely going to be a good one, man. I can't wait to see that one. But and then I guess what was the big story for down here was so many people, like a lot of people at the game, looks like they walked out after the Sheldon Brown pick six. And, you know, there was more Mike Vick fans than Falcons fans there by then. And they were chanting, "We want Vick," and everything else. I mean, basically just rubbing it in to the people who didn't want Vick here and all of that. They don't honestly think he's coming back. It was just kind of them getting their revenge, as far as you could call it.
Yeah, man. But who didn't expect it? I watched a little bit of the game. I saw initially – I was surprised how quickly he came out, but how quickly I was surprised Andy Reid. He did the right thing, but I wasn't expecting to see it. I expect McNabb play the first quarter, but he came out there on like the fifth or sixth play they ran on their first drive, man. Fourth or fifth play on their drive, he was out there. They were down on the 10-yard line, and the crowd. It was a mixture, man. Definitely a mixture of boos and cheers. When the camera cut to the audience, the people in the crowd, and some white guy who looked like he was trying to chastise people for cheering for Vic, and then the camera cut back. It looked like he was turned around and he was pointing his finger saying something, and the camera cut back. But I can imagine that's pretty much what it was. Like somebody tried to boil it down and said, "Hey." A lot of black people cheer for Vic. Most of the white people hate Vic. And and that's the way it is. But I really can't say that, man. I don't think nobody condones what he did, man. But I think just on a human being perspective, why shouldn't you cheer for the guy, man? Especially if he's righted his wrongs, he's done his time. Why shouldn't a man come back and try to make up for some of the things that he did, try to get his career back on track? Why not?
Yeah, I agree, man. I don't see how some people are that determined to be hateful of somebody. I mean, at this point, it's ridiculous to keep up the whole argument of, well, what he did was unforgivable. Hey, get out of here with that, man. Be real. The guy made a mistake, went to Leavenworth 18 months. It's over with. Let that man live his life. But it's a more complicated situation than what it appears, though, because you got so many people who are for Vic, some of them who feel like they don't care about the dog fighting thing anyway because they know people who've had the same charges and didn't go through anywhere near what Mike Vick went through. So it's a very complicated issue, but people try to boil it down to black and white, and it's definitely more complicated than that. But it was good to see the boy back.
I was happy he had a good game, man. Pretty much that's the best game, most action he's had all season, man. First touchdown since he's come back against the old squad, man. That was ironic.
Yeah.
I think Andy Reid and them purposely set out to do it because they made him an honorary captain. He led the Eagles out onto the field. And I think that was kind of them giving him his just due, knowing that he's coming back to the place we played. They wanted to make it special for him.
Yeah. And you got to think Andy Reid's sons, you know, have a big impact on him and Vic's relationship because he's going through something where his immediate family is going through legal trouble. So it's definitely got to be a thing. He wants to see the guy do good. He wants to see things turn around for him. Because he definitely put his stamp on making sure Michael Vick was successful. You know, he gave him the opportunity. I didn't expect to see him till the third quarter. You know, I expected Cobb to be in there, Cobb or whatever his name is, to be in there, and then Vic to come in late.
It was surprising, man. But I'm like I said, I was happy to see it, and I was happy that he played well. Hopefully next year, man, if he doesn't get get an opportunity somewhere, maybe you get some more playing time. We'll see, man. He just hopefully his head's on straight, man. He's going to just keep progressing forward, man. We'll see this. People who say that, he's a quarterback, man. I don't care what anybody says. He's a quarterback. He played in the league. He made the Pro Bowl, man.
The
critics like Bayless and so on, this guy won games, man. So I think if you put him – he won games without half the talent, half the talent that's on that Philly squad right now. So,
right.
So I think if you get him on a squad, man, that you got some playmakers, man, I think he'll do the same thing. He may not be old vintage Vic, but he, it's yet to be determined, man. We'll just have to see, man. But I think if he gets on a squad that has some decent weapons on him, man, he still can do some things.
Yeah, I think it boils down to this. I think Andy Reid is going to use him to end the season, and if he's not very effective, I think he'll probably end up in Philly next year running that same package again. But if he does show some of the old signs, then I think they'll definitely make the trade and, you know, get their value for him. But
he's going to have to showcase him eventually, man.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. They're going to showcase him, but if he's making highlight plays, then they're definitely going to move him because they're going to get a high draft pick for him. But if he doesn't, then, I mean, you got to think, would you rather keep another offensive package on your team or take a fourth rounder or whatever they would offer? So I think, you know, a bad offer will make them keep him. But I don't know. I'm interested to see how this goes at the end of the season, man. He's definitely still got it. There's a couple of places that need a quarterback.
Oh, this
mainly St. Louis and Carolina.
Yeah, this
morning
a couple, man. I wouldn't want to see him go to St. Louis, man. But, gee, There's more than a couple, man.
He's a
playmaking quarterback like him, man.
Definitely.
They haven't re-signed Vince Young anyway, right?
Yeah, Tennessee, well, I think that's already a done deal now.
Think so?
Unless he does something stupid behind the scenes. Yeah, I mean,
hey, man,
he won't give him a contract like he got.
Hey, man, somebody else could step up and make an offer, too, man.
Yeah. I don't know,
Chris Johnson. It's a sick package, man.
Yeah, but if you lose Chris Johnson, you said him going to Tennessee.
Yeah.
See, but if they don't bring back Vince, I doubt they would bring in Vic, though.
Why not? Who else would you? Who else would you want to come in and run the same kind of package that Humerdinger has Vince Young in right now, and it's working? Who else would you want to come in and see that? You just bring back Kerry Collins, let him run the show after the beginning of this year. I don't think he'd do that, man. I think he bring in. I think if they didn't resign for whatever reason, they couldn't resign Vince Young. Mm-hmm. I see you let Vic come in there and compete, man. If he wins and he plays, he could easily step in there and run the same packages that Vince Young is running right now.
Yeah, that is true. Yeah, just wasn't one of the places I thought about, because I assumed the Vince Young thing was a done deal after this.
They haven't given this is his walk here, man.
Yeah, but this is the thing, but it seems like Bud Adams likes him a lot.
Well, he does, but nobody's given him a contract yet. So you know, who's to say that he won't get a better offer somewhere else?
Mm.
And he may walk, man. He may not like the way he was treated. And just because he's got the chance of redemption, he may choose to say, man, listen, man, I don't want to come back to this situation. I'll take the more money and go play for a squad where, you know, I know I'm the man. You know, he could come back next year, man, and he'd be fucking competition again.
Yeah.
Be him and Kerry Collins, man.
I doubt Jeff Fisher would even try the Kerry Collins thing again unless.
Hey, man, didn't Jeff Fisher
terrible.
Didn't even want the man to play this year. Jeff
I know, but I'm saying if he's getting overruled already this year, I doubt he would try it again next year. That's what I'm saying. You know what I mean? If Bud Adams was willing to go ahead and make that stand and step on the man's toes. I doubt he'll put those same toes out there again. That's why I'm looking at it. Like I think Bud Adams is going to want the guy. He seems to feel like that's his franchise guy. Well, second to Chris Johnson. But I don't know, man. We'll see. I see what you're saying about Vic being there, though. He does work out because of that package especially.
Are they running times?
Who else were you impressed with this weekend? Well, besides Indy, 12-0 again.
Nobody really, man. I'm just happy the Jags won, man. They still in the playoff hunt. I mean, that was a silver lining, man, for this weekend, man. So I'm just happy the Jags won.
Yeah. They're quietly staying in the race.
Yeah, pretty much, man. How long they'll stay, we don't know. But I'm just happy about that, man. I wasn't too much impressed with anybody else. New Orleans, man. I was surprised Arizona won that game, but hell, they were at home, so why shouldn't they?
Yeah. And you look at Arizona, they still have a lot of talent on that team, so they're any given Sunday team. I mean, they can beat just about anybody, so it can happen with them.
Boy, Fitzgerald's still there making plays, so. Yeah, they can beat just about anybody, like you said.
Yeah, so I don't know, man. We got about four or five elite teams. Everybody else is kind of hoping for a playoff shot. You never know with injuries or what else can happen. So they're kind of just hoping to get in there and see what happens. But the elite teams in the NFL this year look really good, and I don't know, man. We might see some records get broken this year.
Still a lot of football to play.
Yeah, definitely. Who's your MVP right now, sir?
I'd say Drew Brees, man.
Yeah.
I'd say Drew Brees. I think you probably could have made a case for Brett Favre until last week. I think Brett Favre slacked off. I mean, people are trying to give it to Peyton Manning every damn year. I don't care who's. You can even put Chris Johnson.
Yeah, I think he's gonna get that co MVP like they did the year with him and McNair. I think it's gonna be Breeze
I mean,
and
man.
Manning.
If Peyton Manning, if the Colts are not good, yeah, I mean, would they blame Peyton Manning? I don't know, man. But you know,
no, they would have blamed Caldwell.
But you know,
they
would have
came down
know,
hard on Jim Caldwell.
To me, I'm not impressed with the Colts, man. I think they still don't want to see any of those 3-4 defenses. I still think if they get paired against the 3-4 defense, man, they're gonna have problems just as well. Tennessee didn't play a very good ball game, man, against
mm-hmm.
this past week, so can't say I was
surprised. And Tennessee's on the fringe anyway. They're a good team, but they're not with the elite team. So they beat a good team, but not one of the best. And I want to see them against San Diego. Like, you keep bringing up that 3-4. I want to see them play against them. And more than likely, that's going to be their route.
I don't know how North Turner's kept his job, man. That was the stupidest thing that GM. I forget that GM's name, man. But whoever that San Diego GM.
I believe it's A.J. Smith, I think.
Yeah, man. That was stupid for him to let Marty Schottenheimer go, man.
Yeah.
They
might have gotten a ring by now, man.
Yeah.
Might have gotten a ring by now.
I don't know, man. Whatever the differences was, man, I don't know how you get rid of Marty Schottenheimer for a North Turner, man. And you see how
yeah.
that ball club has played since North Turner took over, man. It's not the same club, man.
Right. They're hot and cold now. Under Marty, they were consistent, and I'm sure the boy LT would love to have him back. But, I also wanted to ask you about the Falcons, man, because last year they had a few more veteran players than they have now. So, I mean, I know that'll at least make the defense a little more solid, but they played against the worst schedule. Michael Turner ran for almost 1,800 yards, I believe it was. And, you know, Matt Ryan looked like he was going to be that next great quarterback. With Turner not being able to run for what he did last year and the schedule being harder, are we seeing now what that team really is?
Well, you're seeing a lot of things, man. You're seeing that they don't really have that much talent. They're not that deep. They outplayed themselves last year. I don't think anybody could afford you. Maybe you could say a lot of it was attributed to the schedule, but they really played well last year. At key positions, and you're looking at this year, the schedule's a little bit tougher. You've got injuries. You're not as deep and talented a football team. You still have a lot of young guys in young positions, and when you're not as deep and you get injuries, see where you can't stay consistent. You're going to be like an average ball club, 6-6. Which I believe what they're at right now.
Yeah, that's exactly what they look like. And what is your thoughts about Ryan? Like, I mean, I know no matter what, the kids show he's a good quarterback. But did Steve Young and some of the other people go a little too far saying, you know, well, he's a future Hall of Famer, mark it down now, this is one of the best I ever seen, this young?
Hey, I don't know if you can say it's not that far. Obviously, the league has caught up to him a bit. But keep in mind, man, there's one key injury that happened this year, one key weapon that he doesn't have this year that he had last year, and that was that Harry Douglas, man, who went down early
yeah, but,
in the season, who made a lot
yeah,
of plays
Douglas
on last year, man.
Yeah, but
he made a lot of
to
plays.
The end of the season. Yeah, but that wasn't until, like, week 10. So it's like, the first 10 weeks of the season, he was still making plays.
But look at what
he
they got.
He did get
now.
An elite tight end.
They did get an elite tight end, but does the tight end stretch the field, man? The tight end is more like – he's more like your possession receiver now. I mean, he's probably doing – he's probably doing the same work that damn What's that skillet hand guy from Ohio State, man? Michael something. I can't remember his name. Name is Casey, man. He's pretty much.
Oh, Jenkins, my bad.
Yeah, Jenkins stinks, man. Jenkins don't stretch the field. And they said this guy ran a 4.3 out of the draft, man. he's an average guy, man. He should take Finneran's spot on the club right now, and he shouldn't even be starting. He should be like a wide receiver that comes in third downs, man. If it's third and long, man.
But can you do that with the extension that you paid him last year?
Probably
not. Do you even
not.
Do that?
Probably not.
I mean, good.
Falcons, still got they owe people money, still owe Vic money.
Right, I got your point about Harry Douglas, but my whole thing was, okay, he doesn't have Douglas, that's true, but he still has a hell of a lot more weapons than most. Jason Campbell would kill for those weapons.
They're taking away a lot of what the Falcons did last year, man. They've had some injuries, man. I mean, like I said, I can't really blame everything on Matt Ryan. No,
I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying the praise, like I opened with, man, the praise is going too far, and it gives people unrealistic ideas and expectations about a guy. Then when they don't meet him, they say, oh, he stinks. You know what I mean?
I think the praise was warranted last year. Like I said, man, you always got to wait and see how someone does, because it's not – 1 year that makes players, it's the consistency that'll tell you if the player is great or not. Because you can see every once in a while a guy will creep out there and have a phenomenal year, and he'll disappear off the map, man. One year does not make a great player.
That's what I'm saying, man. I know you seen this years ago, man. Mark Rippon had one of the best quarterbacks ever. Quarterback seasons by anybody. I believe it was 91, that year the Redskins had that, great team, Hall of Famers everywhere. 1 year, like you said, 1 year doesn't do it, man. It can happen to anybody. Well, not anybody, but it can happen. We've seen the guy in Pittsburgh who was there before Big Ben stepped in.
Yeah.
Come off of the street, Tommy Maddox. Had a great season. It happens a lot, but when you go too far with the praise, it's like you're setting the guy up for the downfall. Just let the kid play. We'll see what he becomes. Let him play.
Hey.
Flacco struggled last night, but I mean, I don't think anybody doubts the kid. Like, well, he'll never be good.
I think Flacco running into a case, same thing like a little bit what Matt Ryan's running into, man.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now they're depending on him a little bit more. That running game is not as good. Ray Rice is, pretty decent. But I think the strength of that team, man, is pretty much offensive line and defense, man. And now you see Flacco putting up. I think he put up the ball 50 times one game, man, sometime here, a few games ago. It was against the Bengals. He put up the ball 50 times. That's not Baltimore type of style of play.
Not at all. And they definitely can't go through a season doing stuff like that. But, I mean, they look like a pretender team anyway, though, right now. They just don't have enough on offense to get it done.
Boy, Ray Lewis is done, man.
Oh, man, you're making that statement.
Done, man.
He's done?
Was it
last night, or was it Joseph Addai in the whole last week or the week before?
I've just been watching him, man. He's a step slow. He'll still get in there and rock somebody every once in a while, man. But, man, he slowed down a lot, man. Guy ain't the same player, man. He doesn't seem to raise everyone's level of play on defense like he used to.
Man, they say it goes fast, man.
Yeah, but he's pretty much done.
Did you see that play I was talking about?
Nah, I didn't see that die play.
It was a big thing on NFL Network. It showed a little highlights. Your boy Primetime turned away from the screen. He said he wasn't going to watch, man. He tried to meet Joseph Addai in the hole. Joseph Addai gave him one little juke, man, and stepped right by him, man. And Ray barely moved. Like, that juke froze him.
Yeah. I'm not surprised, man. So he's getting slower and slower. Every time I watch the game, man, I watch the game the Ravens play, Ray Lewis don't even look like. I mean, it was expected, man. The guy's getting old, man. He's been putting the work for a while now, so it's not surprising he's lost a step or two.
That's the amazing thing about the NFL. Like, you're talking about, well, defense or offense, you got these players who are great, and then they just come into one season, man, and you just see the drop. Like, you brought up the defensive end from the Falcons, who's
John Abraham.
Yeah, who's not getting the pressure like he did last year when he had, what, 16 sacks?
Yeah.
It just goes, man. It's crazy. It's not like that in any other sport. I mean, baseball player, you got a guy, you can make him a DH or something, or he's a runner, whatever. Basketball, guy goes to the sixth man, or, you know, a defensive player, or somebody who just gets to the line. Football, guy falls off, guy gets cut. He's never the same.
Yep, it goes quick, man. It goes quick.
Yeah. Did you have any predictions for any bowl games that you wanted to get out there before?
SEC wins all their bowl games.
Well, you going SEC, I'm going Big Ten, then. We winning all our ball games.
Well, then you know you're going to expect to lose, man.
Yeah, whatever, man. I'm going Big Ten, then, if that's the case, bro.
So you taking Ohio State, Ohio State to beat Oregon?
I'm taking the Ohio State University to beat Oregon. Yes, sir. We're going to beat them up, man.
You put some money on Ohio State again, man.
We're going to be too physical for Oregon, man.
Hey, man, that's the same thing.
They're not used to Big Ten.
That's the same thing USC taught.
Oh, and before we get out of here, man, what's up with your boy Charlie Weiss, man?
Charlie Weiss, man, just pulling a sucker punch on the way out. I don't know what his deal is with Pete Carroll. Pete Carroll, whip your fat ass, man.
For those who don't know, could you kind of...
He said someone made a comment to a reporter about why he gets criticized, and then Pete Carroll is you know, he's in paper columns about this and that, and his family, and everybody's, you know, saying this and that about him. And the other guys, he said Pete Carroll's out there living with a co-ed somewhere in Malibu, something like that.
Man.
So said something like that.
I mean, man. This is grown man stuff here, man.
I don't know.
This is worse than hating.
Charlie Weiss, man, you get your fat ass whipped, man. Just accept it. Don't try and pull punches on your way out, man. Those are things you should be saying. If you're going to say something to the man, say it to his face. I mean, I don't understand, man. Just because Pete Carroll was better recruiter, better coach, whip your ass all the time, and you could never beat him. I don't understand why you got to take pot shots on the way out, man.
Yeah, and if you're going to take pot shots, make the pot shots about football or about coaching or something. Don't get into some stuff to where, you know, as a man, no man respects something like that, man. You're going to comment on this man's personal life with relationships because you can't beat him? Ain't no excuse for that, man. I don't know what to say about the boy Charlie, man.
Gutless. Like that.
And can you confirm or deny the rumor that your D coordinator at Florida is going to Louisville?
Yeah, he's gone.
He's gone.
He's gone.
Well, we got what, five black coaches now?
Yeah, something like that, man. Something like that. Got a pretty good recruiting class coming in, man. So let's hope we maintain. We're still in the line for a lot of guys, a lot of top-notch caliber guys who haven't signed, man, as of yet. signing day come February. We'll see what it looks like, man. A lot of people rate Florida right now with the number one class.
Oh, so you think Urban Meyer still want to coach without Tebow there?
Man, what you think, man?
Ah, I had to get one shot in, man. Nothing personal, man. I had to get
ask you a question, man. Why would I leave Florida while I'm killing it to go anywhere else? For what? As to quote
right.
Ricky Waters, man. For who? For what?
So that Notre Dame prestige, you don't think is going to pull him out of there?
I didn't even
That's all they got to offer. So, I mean, hell.
I'm looking here. I didn't even know we were in the running for Jackson Jeffcoat. Looks like we are. Man, he got a lot of schools on his list.
Hey, you guys in the running for everybody. That's how it goes, man.
Hey, you know who I don't see on here, man? I don't see Ohio State.
Yeah,
oh, yeah, there they are. There they are.
That's because Ohio State focuses on academics, sir. We're not a football factory, sir.
Yeah.
Anyway, man, this is Speaking Like You Think It Radio. We did the slow laid-back show today, man. Everybody's a little relaxed. But next week, we'll really get into the bowl games. You're coming back with the draft board, correct?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. We're coming back with the draft board, and we're definitely going to get into some NBA seeding because, I mean, basically, we can give you the seeds right now. But we'll get into playoff seeding with the NBA, yes, this early. And that's it. Speaking Like You Think It Radio. Check us out anytime you can, man. Peace out. Anything you want to say, Craig?
Catch you next week on with that draft board.
All right.